So we're here in the dog patch, and I actually think that I should swap places with you.
Okay.
So the you that I'm talking to is George Lazzaneo.
Lazzaneo, yeah.
And he is from the San Francisco Food Bank. So when we started this project, we were like, we want to get local people involved and local institutions involved. And the food bank is in the hood, so we wanted someone to come down and tell us all about it. So maybe you could just tell, just while we're waiting for Paul to turn up, if you can just explain what you do there and how long you've been involved with the bank, the food bank.
Well, I've been with the organization about, it'll be 3 years June, and just got off of work, just literally like 10 minutes ago, just finished up a shift.
Okay.
And I'm a warehouse supervisor.
Okay, so what does that involve?
Just setting up the warehouse operation. The food bank is broken into several different organizations. There's the people that do the outreach, which is our programs people, fundraising, administration, and the warehouse operations department, the ones that actually deliver the product to the agencies and take all the product in from the retail grocery industry.
So are you a paid worker there, or is it something you volunteer? And
yeah, we have it's a relatively small organization. The San Francisco Food Bank only has 60 full-time employees, but we have over 64,000 hours of volunteer hours that are banked every year, which is the equivalent of another 30 full-time employees. So it's a pretty lean organization, but we do depend heavily on volunteers.
Okay, and why do people volunteer there? What is it, sort of something you can do, you know, to like get rid of your parking tickets, or you know, that kind of thing? Or?
Well, the food bank is my first time working outside of the private sector, and that was my assumption when I first started working there. I'd say the vast majority of people that volunteer are communities, organizations, a lot of corporate groups, small individuals. We also have core volunteers that have been volunteering with their families or as individuals for years. I mean, the organization's been with us for about 20 years now in San Francisco.
So where does the food bank get its money from?
Accommodation plate. We get a lot of people think we get government grants, which isn't the case. That's a component of our overall budget. We rely mostly on donations.
Okay.
We have corporate donors. We also have breadwinners, which is a small core group of people that donate anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 annually, like the Haas Foundation, a lot of the bedrock nonprofit givers in the city and county of San Francisco, and also small individual donations as well.
Okay, cool. So you've got a large warehouse over, so where is it exactly?
It's just over the hill. It's over on 900 Pennsylvania Avenue, Pennsylvania and 22nd.
And so you just, in that warehouse, it's just heaps of food, is it?
Yeah, it's basically whenever we do a tour of the facility for new groups, we basically, it's pretty impressive. It's a 40,000 square foot warehouse. We tell them it's basically, the best description is it's a Costco for the other nonprofits in San Francisco.
So is it full of fridges and freezers?
We have a very large refrigerator. One of the challenges of food banks over the last 20 years is convincing the retail grocery industry that we're not in competition with them. A lot of the items that we get in, especially perishable items, would normally have been destroyed and would never had a second chance to be to enter the food chain.
Right.
But we are now able, through our Fresh Rescue program through Albertsons and Molly Stone's, we get fresh produce and frozen food quite often. So we have two three-story refrigerators and freezers. So, but the majority of the warehouse is a dry goods. It's a traditional warehouse setup. It does look quite a bit like a Costco warehouse.
Okay. So basically what happens is Safeways, correct my pronunciation.
Uh-huh.
Safeway, all these food companies around here, once the food on their shelves hits that sell-by date, is that what happens? You come and collect the food from them? Is that how it works? Or?
Well, it's a combination plate. The food bank distributes over 26 million pounds of food a year, which is enough for 55,000 meals every day in San Francisco. And we get about one-third is produce that we glean from the San Joaquin Valley here in California, produce that is cosmetically imperfect, that won't go to market. And the other items we get in are from the retail grocery industry. Items are either short-dated, they're about to expire, or items that are bought in quantity and unsold, and the corporations are willing to take a credit for a tax donation in lieu of trying to sell the items themselves.
Mm-hmm. So it's not moldy food then?
No. That's I think that's one of the misnomers about food banking and stuff. Most of what we get is perfectly good food. Some of it, I think that one of the things we're accustomed to when we go shopping for ourselves is if we see a can that's dented, we're obviously not going to buy that can. The retail grocery industry in San Francisco in particular realizes that people want things that are aesthetically appealing. So if there's any aesthetic challenges to either the produce or the canned goods or the box, if it's crushed, they're going to want to discard it.
Right, okay. So basically, you said 55,000 meals a day?
Correct.
How many families is that?
Well, our service sector, through all the census data that we have, is that at any given day in San Francisco, there are anywhere from 120 to 150,000 people living at or below the poverty line. San Francisco also is one of the most expensive cities in the world to live in at this point. Anybody that's living on the margins of society is somebody that's living on government assistance, anybody that's living at the minimum wage, single mothers, first-generation immigrants. But our largest service sector is definitely senior citizens in San Francisco.
So how do we, let's say that I'm on the poverty line or I'm living on the streets, right? I mean, if there's two kind of questions here. How would I find out about the food bank or how would I, would a sort of a social worker kind of put me in contact with you? And if I'm living on the streets, how can I get that food? Or do I not, is it not really people that are homeless that go for the things that you're offering?
Well, the food bank is primarily a distribution hub for the entire city and county of San Francisco. We're the warehouse and distribution point for Glide Memorial, St. Anthony's Dining Room, a lot of the senior centers and soup kitchens. We don't have a hot kitchen or service facility ourselves, so we don't serve. The only type of distribution that we do directly is that we have a contract with the city and county of San Francisco. It's an emergency food box program. So if anybody that goes to a shelter from San Francisco just has to go through social services, come to the food bank and pick up an emergency food box. But that's what we have that's readily available. Primarily what we do is feed other nonprofits, soup kitchens, and service centers.
Okay. So you don't have a chef there then?
No, nothing of that sort, no.
So we can't come around there later for ravioli and broccoli?
No, not unless you're a big fan of the Chef Boyardee, no.
The what?
Chef Boyardee. We get a lot of canned goods. That's an American thing. It's a prepackaged.
It's like that geezer, and what's his name? The fish fingers man, you know?
The Groton's fish guy? The Groton fish guy?
Oh, it's finger licking good, that kind of thing.
No, not this. This would be like a canned. This would be like a canned good.
Okay. Right. Well, I had a question, and now it's just evaporated. Oh, Katina's has come to the rescue, I think.
Neato.
She's turning on the microphone.
I'm waiting for it.
Hi. Okay. I'm curious because I haven't checked in on it, but I'm pretty sure that when I get out of graduate school, I'm going to be on the poverty line for a little while.
It doesn't take much in San Francisco,
really,
I tell
doesn't.
You.
It really doesn't. And I was also a teacher for 6 years, so I was pretty damn close to the poverty line then as well. Can you tell me how you negotiate who you give food to? And when folks come to you, do they have to prove where they live, and how do they do that? Or if they live anywhere, if they have an income, how do they do that?
Well, in San Francisco, again, it doesn't take much. Anybody that's making under $12.50 or $13 an hour in San Francisco working full time, it's the cost of living in San Francisco that drives the hunger in San Francisco. When we talk in the food bank, we talk at any food bank about ending hunger. We know that there's no way to literally end hunger in San Francisco or anywhere else in the world. Someone's going to be clutching their belly at any given point in time. It's trying to find malnutrition at its source, because the idea of a child not doing as well in school because his stomach is grumbling, if a senior citizen is getting sick, there's no reason for anybody to be suffering from malnutrition in San Francisco in 2007. It's unconscionable.
Do you make a policy of not distributing, food that has no relation to anything that grew on the tree or in the ground? You know what I mean? Very highly processed chemical analogs of food. You know, like, or how choosy are you about what you're distributing?
There's the old adage that beggars can't be choosers, but we do make a concerted effort through the Second Harvest Food Network. To bring as much fresh produce as possible. What we try to do is we try to anticipate the nutritional value of items that are missing within a community and try to plug those in. There are a lot of neighborhoods in San Francisco that the only fresh fruit that a child in that neighborhood is going to get is by getting like a pie at a corner store. The closest thing they get to fresh meat on a day-to-day basis is beef jerky, because there's no neighborhood service in grocery stores. Through our pantry network, what we try to do is try to get fresh meat and fresh produce into communities that otherwise wouldn't have it.
You spoke a little bit about how food and nutrition affect the way students are in school and how well they learn. And I know a lot of school lunch programs over, at least in the past maybe 3 years from the time that I was in education within the school system, was able to see it up close. How much do you work with schools, and how much are you aware of what youth are getting in schools, and how much does that impact the kinds of choices that you make or the collaborations? So you have a long list of people that you work with. I know you mentioned Glide was one that just stuck out to me. And maybe this is somewhat of a misdirected or stupid question because I don't know enough about your organization, but I'm just wondering, you know, I know that children learn better when they've eaten well, and they also don't, they probably don't need medications as much. They don't need, you know, they're over-medicated. It was always amazing to me when I worked for a little while at an elementary school, and the nurse's office, right before lunch, had a line down the hallway for the kids to get their meds.
Yeah, Ritalin. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just, it was always astounding to me because I realized that maybe after a while I thought about it. I said, well, maybe if they're eating better, and maybe if they spent more time outside, or maybe if our curriculum was refocused, something, all these different factors. But specifically a big thing, you know, about the food. How does that fit into the ways that you all think and make choices?
Well, we administer quite a few programs at the San Francisco Food Bank. One of the ones is we have an after-school snack program where we anticipate. One of the challenges that we have in the warehouse is we try to flip the warehouse as often as possible. When we get an item and it's perishable, we literally have anywhere from 24 to 36 hours to make a decision about where it's going to go. So we operate after-school snack programs where we actually bring the items physically to a public elementary, middle, or high school in San Francisco in any specific neighborhood, usually at the request of a parent or one of our advocacy people. So after school, the kids will literally be able to like leave school with some cottage cheese, some fruit, dairy products, stuff, whole foods and stuff. There was a question before about snack foods. A lot of we made a conscious decision last year when we decided to make some changes in our inventory control that we get a lot of items that are like leftover items from, like we know that in December we're going to get a lot of candy from Halloween, and we try to cut down on that because there's already so much like refined sugar and other items that have calories but no nutritional value that are already plugged into that community. We really try to do everything we can to make sure that they have access to like whole fresh food.
So at this juncture, I just want to introduce the person who is going to be doing this interview today, who's Paul. And so, Paul, this is George, and he's from the food bank.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
And basically, I guess, what have we talked about? We've talked a little bit about how, you can hold that one. We've talked a little bit about how the food bank gets its funding and how important is fresh food on, is that better? How important is fresh food for kids? And what you have to do to get the food that they distribute. So I'm going to hand it over to you. I mean, you may find that you're kind of covering stuff we've talked about, but George, you can just let him know that we've done that.
Sure, I'll just redirect wherever you want. It's fine.
I'll hand it over to you two now, and that's your mic, and you can put these headphones on so you can hear what's going on. Okay. So just a reminder: this is Neighborhood Public Radio. We're in the Sundance Cafe, and it is. And it is San Francisco World Fair. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, like Wiz said, there might be things that I talk about and everything that she's already covered with you. And then you can just say, well, you know, we've kind of already covered that kind of situation or question.
No problem.
Okay, I actually went onto the website earlier today, I think, do a little bit of reading on the food bank, and there's a couple things that really surprised me about the hunger and stuff here in San Francisco. There's one part in the thing that says the scope of the problem, and it says nearly 150,000 San Franciscans, including children, low-income families, seniors, on fixed incomes, people living with HIV or AIDS, the homeless, and people struggling to move from welfare to work live with the threat of hunger. And there's a thing saying that President Bush wants to get, has proposed eliminating the commodity supplement food program as a way to save money and avoid duplicating nutritional programs for seniors. It costs $106 million.
It is one of the tragedies and stuff of this past year, and it's not the first time. This happened again last year. It's not even a question of the federal government not saying that they're going to cut the budget. What they're doing is they're just not funding it. It starts at the federal level with appropriations with the farm subsidy bill. And what it appears that this administration is trying to do is trying to get rid of entitlement programs very stealthily just by not funding them. So officially, they're not cutting them out of the budget because on paper, they don't exist. So effective, unless we can get a congressional delegation to try to restore funding for this program, this program will not exist February the 1st, 2008. And this program has been happening in San Francisco for 37 years.
Yeah. I think it says that last year Congress refused to do away with the programs but agreed to trim the number of recipients about 10%.
Yeah, the consensus seems to be that this is one of many items that's going to be like a trading chip for like the war chest, that in order to get funding for other items, the administration is going to play tit for tat and try to trade up for this program. So we are hopeful that we're going to be able to get the funding restored for it, because at $110 million, it's nothing. It is a fraction of 1% of the federal budget.
Yeah. In comparison of what has been spent on
other things, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Not in our backyard. So it's just like, it seems like people are more worried about what's going on a global scale than what their next door neighbor's suffering from. And
yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, I'm a third generation San Franciscan, and even just looking at the way things are going at the national scale, things just seem about as out of whack as they've ever had before in my adult life. So yeah, it's strange.
Yeah. What do you think everybody that's listening, Nathan, can actually do to help to try to get it, anything to where Bush is aware that this is a serious problem and he needs not to cut it or to get rid of it, anything, but to actually assist in it and add more to that?
Well, I think a lot has to, anybody that has any kind of, everybody has the power to write their, to write their congressman or their senator, Dianne Feinstein, Tom Lantos, Barbara Boxer, anybody from San Francisco, anybody from the San Francisco congressional delegation, and let them know that we're socially aware, that we believe that we should help those less fortunate, that the way our society, I mean, San Francisco is named after St. Francis of Assisi, and we believe that we should take care of those less fortunate. And it's a reflection on ourselves as a community in San Francisco and as part of the global community, that we can do third world food relief, but we can't take care of our own, you know, our most vulnerable citizens in San Francisco.
I'm going to read a little bit of article, anything that actually came up, anything with the website, I think, from the San Francisco Chronicle. San Francisco senior food program on chopping block. Food bank chief lobbies against Bush budget cuts. The one part that really surprised me, I think, is this two little bits of paragraph. It says a 2-pound block of cheese, 2 boxes of cereal, 2 pounds of rice, 3 cans of orange juice, 3 cans of evaporated milk, 2 cans of apricots, 4 cans of mixed vegetables, a can of beef, and a jar of peanut butter. It's a rather modest monthly grocery list, but its uncertain fate has caused anxiety among thousands of low-income seniors who rely on cardboard boxes filled with food they receive from federal government. What do you think if our chief had to live on this for a month, do you think that would make him understand a little bit more what regular people are doing and how they're struggling to survive?
I think one of the tragedies of government is once you start getting sucked into the vortex, that you do lose touch with like the common folk on the street. This program in San Francisco is 90% senior citizens. The ones that aren't the ones in this program that aren't senior citizens are single mothers. They are literally the people living on the margins of society that we see every day on Muni, that we see walking through this neighborhood, actually a lot of long-term residents, and it behooves us to take care of them. I don't know. Unfortunately, I think that the government only responds to pressure, the threat of being voted out of office, the threat of like losing it's political gamesmanship at this point, and that's the tragedy, is that no one sees the human cost by limiting this program. They're just seeing what the political ramifications are. And the political ramifications don't matter to the 70-year-old lady in the Excelsior that needs this box of food because she has no other source of income but Social Security.
Yeah. It also states in here that there's 500,000 seniors, pregnant or postpartum women and children That's a big number, a huge number. And what would it take? I think everybody knocking on his door
to get the funding restored.
Yeah.
It would just take people. First, what the food bank is trying to do is let people. A lot of people are not aware of the San Francisco Food Bank activities in a general sense, much less the SFP program. So we're trying to let the city and county of San Francisco know about this program, the people that it affects, and then let them know that the program is really being threatened with being cut. And at that point, we just try to ratchet up as much political pressure. When this situation happened again last year, we were able to actually because this program happens in 38 of the lower 48 states and Alaska, we were able to get congressional delegations from the East Coast, West Coast, Rust Belt, and stuff, including Rick Santorum and a lot of Republicans, to restore this program. They cut it by 10%, but they allowed it to happen for another year. The federal government's intent is to take this program and to try to transition to senior citizens and give them $20 dignity cards or $20 food stamp cards, knowing that by virtue of their being on Social Security that they're not going to qualify for these cards in the first place. So it's just a shell game. It seems like the intent of the federal government is to eliminate these small entitlement programs that have been around for a very long time, to work their way up to what the big plan is to try to attack Social Security, Medicare, but trying to get rid of the small ones first. That seems to be the intent of the federal government.
Yeah. From the list of what is supplied in this box to a $20 food stamp or dignity card, you can't buy what's in this box for that dollar amount.
That and one of the challenges of the food bank is to try to affect food service in a dignified way. And allow people that may have a cultural barrier to accepting help, letting them have access to that food service. And there's something tangible about handing somebody a box of food. I mean, we're handing them anywhere from 60,000 to 75,000 calories. Every box that we ship is intended to be life-sustaining for an individual for a 30-day cycle. That's not the same as a piece of plastic. The piece, and we've estimated the dollar value of the boxes that we distribute through the San Francisco Food Bank are about $58. So it's just, I don't know, it just seems like they're being cheated any way that you look at it.
Yeah. What the area is most affected here in the city by the program being ended? How do you think that's going to affect the areas that aren't really stressed or strained for the assistance?
Well, the San Francisco Food Bank distributes food through the SFP and other programs in every neighborhood in San Francisco. Obviously, the certain neighborhoods like the Outer Mission, Excelsior, Baby Hunters Point, the Tenderloin are going to feel it a lot more than some other neighborhoods. But, I mean, hunger and the San Francisco Food Bank's efforts focus on every neighborhood in San Francisco. Even in Pacific Heights, Cow Hollow, and some of the areas that you would not think there's a problem, there's somebody living on Social Security, there's somebody living on an SSI that needs some type of state or federal food assistance. Every neighborhood in San Francisco.
Yeah. Well, with coming from a small town, you know everybody, moving to a large city, it's you don't think about those kind of problems on a grand scale until you actually see that out your window.
Mm-hmm.
This article and looking at the website and stuff has made me more aware of issues and stuff. And I think we need to make every person look out their window to see the little lady lives across the street that sits in her window all day long and doesn't do anything because she can't afford it, and she can't even afford food.
I think that San Francisco is a unique town because anybody that's I'm a third generation San Franciscan, but anybody that's moved here from another town realizes that every single neighborhood of San Francisco has its own particular feel or vibe, and we've got to look past the neighborhoods and look at the city as a whole and stuff, especially the southeastern part of the city, of which Dog Patch is the entryway for. This is one of the last areas of San Francisco that still has land for raw development. It's an area that's really in transition right now in terms of a lot of live work spaces and lofts being built, and a lot of people being displaced from this neighborhood. Anybody in San Francisco that's not concerned about food service and stuff will. I mean, I hate to break this to people when I tell people during our orientations that the sad news is that we're not all going to be millionaires, and that's the truth. I'm not trying to be facetious. In San Francisco, we're not all going to be millionaires, and societies are judged on how we treat our most vulnerable citizens. the only difference between a vulnerable citizen and somebody that's doing well in San Francisco is about $3 an hour. If you're making $12 versus $15 an hour and stuff, you're living on the margins of society because you're renting. You're probably not renting at a rent-controlled apartment, and you're barely making it on a week-to-week basis. You know, a lot of people in San Francisco just need to spread their scope of what they think that is happening on a day-to-day basis in San Francisco. It's not just commerce and stuff, and it's not just a town of bon vivants and internet millionaires and people commuting to and from the peninsula and stuff. It's there's like a lot of entrenched poverty in San Francisco, and it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Well, we're being wrapped up, given the cue, so I just want to say thank you for your time coming in today.
If I could just one thing, just to let people know that they can contact the food bank to volunteer. We have volunteers 6 days a week, Mondays through Saturdays, and once on Sundays. Anybody can go to the website, sffoodbank.org, or they can contact us at 415-282-9000 if they'd like to volunteer and get more information about the organization.
Good deal. I think I know I'm going to check in more into it and start volunteering and doing something in my part to help.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. So that was Paul Sowers interviewing George. What's your last name again?
Lazaneo.
Lazaneo from the San Francisco Food Bank. And this is Neighborhood Public Radio. And we're here in the Sundance Cafe as part of the San Francisco...